Now, turn over with me, if you would, to, matter of fact, let's go over to Romans real quick, Romans chapter 5. I have more than I can share with you here. So I just want to just be led by the Holy Spirit on this, because that's the way I pray everywhere I go and minister. I always pray. I don't just get my box of sermons out and go eeny, meeny, miny, mo while I preach that. No, I always say, God, you know where I'm going. I don't know everybody that's going to be there. You do. You know what they need to hear from you. You know what you want to say. So show me what you want me to teach, what you want me to preach. You know, I may have had another idea. But I don't want to preach a good message just because it was a good message. Because God knows what he wants us to hear, doesn't he? Now, over in Romans chapter 5, look at this verse over here. Because I'm talking about faith and healing. This is a really good verse over here. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. The Apostle Paul said, by whom, of course referring to Jesus, by Jesus also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand. Can I come down here, Pastor?
You can, as long as you don't turn that way.
Oh, okay. It's nice. I don't have the light, all that bright lights in my face right here. But this is a real good verse that helps me tremendously. I have, you know, in today's age, over the years, we've had a lot of different teaching. God will raise up ministers to teach on something over a period of time for a reason. You know, you had the whole charismatic movement back in the, what was that, 60s, 70s back then. And I got baptized with the Holy Ghost in March 24th, 1976 back then, actually at a Charles and Francis Hunter meeting. Y'all probably don't know who the Hunters were then. Yeah. They're both in heaven now. Awesome people. And, but that was during the charismatic movement. Then we had what we called the faith movement. Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland and Charles Capps and Norval Hayes. Used to work for Norval Hayes. And a lot of great men and women of God where we really taught about faith in the Word of God. And God was doing that to get the church back into the Word. So everybody's really heavy into teaching then. We're buying cassette tapes right and left. Y'all know what a cassette tape is? We're buying cassette tapes right and left. And then it really moved into a prosperity teaching, a lot of prosperity teaching, especially through Brother Copeland. He really spearheaded that a lot. God wants us to prosper. God doesn't want his church to be broke anymore. And then we've moved into a lot of, especially in the 90s and even up until now, got into a lot of teaching on prophecy, what they call the apostolic movement, and a lot of teaching on grace. A lot of people have been teaching on grace. Now, anytime God emphasizes a specific teaching, he's doing it because he knows there's a lack there in his church overall. And he's trying to get that word into us, that revelation to us. But anytime God does that, there will always be people that will take it too far and we'll get squirrely with it, and like grace. You got people now that say, now that we're under grace, you can live any way you want to live and it's okay. That's a lie from hell. Don't believe that.
Right.
Titus, the book of Titus says, grace teaches us to live a godly, holy life. Obviously, they don't know that verse. They hadn't read that verse. See, the greater revelation you have of grace, if it's a true revelation of grace, the more you will want to live a godly, holy life. It's not the opposite of that. See, if you really have a revelation of grace, you won't have the thoughts, well, now I can live any way I want. If you have those thoughts, then you don't have a revelation of grace. That's just the way it is. But we got people today that say, well, you know, I'm just not into that faith teaching stuff. Well, then, you know what? You will never be able to please God. Because without faith, you can't please God. Because if you're not into faith, then you're not even saved. You know, you get saved by faith, right? Yeah, faith is very important, very, very important. But they'll say, I'm not in that faith teaching, I'm just into grace teaching. Then you'll have people say, well, I'm not in that grace teaching, I'm just into faith teaching. Well, let me explain this to you. Did you notice, first of all, Paul said, by whom also we have access by faith, say faith, into this grace. Obviously, both of them must be important. They work together, don't they? But see, a revelation of grace is simply an understanding that God finished everything for us in Christ at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That's what grace is. Everything's finished and done. What I was sharing this morning about knowing God's will, that God has already healed us by Jesus' stripes, I was actually teaching grace. I just didn't use that word. You are learning about grace this morning. That's what you're learning about. Grace tells us everything's finished and done. Now, faith, though, tells us how to appropriate what's finished and done. Remember what I said this morning? Even though God's already saved everybody, it's not an automatic thing. Every lost person still has to operate in faith, confess Jesus as their Lord, to experience what's already been finished for them, right? Well, that's the way it is for healing and any other blessing from God. Even though you're already healed, it doesn't just automatically happen all the time. You have to believe. You got to release your faith and say, God, I see that you've already healed me by your grace. Therefore, I release my faith and I receive it right now. But what I like to use that helps me so much is the example of a bank account. My wife and I have a checking account over at Whitaker Bank over at Hamburg Plaza. And let's say that in our checking account, we have $1,000. Now, if I have $1,000 in my checking account, doesn't that mean that's my money? At least it should. That's my money, right? That's my money. Well, I like to call grace, I like to use a bank account to describe grace. Grace is like I call it a spiritual bank account, your grace account. It's a spiritual bank account with God. You know, in my natural bank account, say we have $1,000, and I can say in our natural bank account, we have $1,000 in our checking account. I can say, you know, in my grace account with God, I have healing, deliverance, prosperity. I have all the blessings of heaven, anything I'll ever need. It's all in my spiritual account. But now, if I go to the bank, or let me say this, if I go to the mailbox tomorrow, well, I may have to wait till Tuesday because tomorrow's a holiday. But if I go to if I go to the mailbox on Tuesday and I got an electric bill in there, say, for $125, and I think, wow, $125, I got that covered. I got $1,000 in my checking account. So man, I'm happy. Got that covered. So I reach in my wallet, pull my wallet out, think, well, I'll just get that $125 out of my wallet since I know it's in my checking account. I'll just get that right out of my wallet because it's got to automatically be there if it's mine, right? If healing's mine, it should just automatically pop into my body, right? Wrong. So I pull out my wallet and I open it up and I only have $1 in there. So I run in the house and I say, Leah, I thought we had $1,000 in our checking account. Well, we do, honey, we do. It's in there. Well, I don't think so. I just got a bill for $125, electric bill, and I looked in my wallet, and there's not $125 in there. There's no money in there. Yeah, my wife's going to say that. There you go. She's going to say, you know, if she's nice, if she may, you know, if she's not nice, she may say, you're not that stupid, are you? That's what I want to say to a lot of people, but I don't. I'm nice. I walk in love. Because a lot of Christians don't use their brains at all. They'll use them in the natural realm, but not for spiritual things. My wife would say, honey, you have to make a withdrawal. Well, I thought we already had at least $125 in our checkout. You do, but it won't automatically appear in your wallet just because it's already a done deal, just because it's already finished. You see where I'm going here? So even though it's already done, there's a second step you have to apply to appropriate it or to actually experience the money in your account. You have to make a withdrawal. Well, faith in God is your spiritual withdrawal slip. But like I said, you know, talking about some people just want to hear grace or some people want to hear faith. Well, putting that with my example of the bank, it's like somebody coming to you and say, you know, I don't believe in bank accounts. I just don't believe in banks, period. But I do believe in withdrawal slips. I got a whole box of withdrawal slips at home. Will that help them? Not a bit. Well, if they come and say, you know, I really believe strongly in banks and bank accounts, but not withdrawal slips. They're going to get any money out of their bank account? No. It won't work that way, will it? See, faith and grace work together. I have a little book out there called Grace, Faith, and Rest. And the subtitle is Three Levels of Faith. I only got one out there, so if you know if I run out, you can order it, and I'll send it to you. But it's called Grace, Faith, and Rest. And in that book, I'm teaching on this, and I'm bringing out the point that as Christians, we need to get good at operating in faith and get good at operating in the grace of God. Because when you get faith and grace working together, then you will enter. You will enter into God's supernatural rest. So if you're struggling, if you say, boy, I just seem like I just can't experience God's peace and rest in my life. Well, you're probably missing it in either faith or grace or one of the, or both of them. You need to examine how you believe. Because see, if you say, well, I'm just into faith teaching. I'm not into that grace teaching. Well, then you're never going to enjoy God's supernatural peace and rest in your life. You can't experience God's rest, and you're not going to experience rest in your body. That's called healing. Until you learn to get faith and grace working in your life. You need to get good at both of those areas. Because the better you get in learning what's already done for you and how to make a spiritual withdrawal, oh man, then you're on the way. You're going to start living as heaven on earth. You're going to be at peace, at rest all the time, no matter what storms are taking place in the world around us, like Jesus did. That's why, remember, over in the book of Mark, remember he got in the boat, he said, we're going to pass over to the other side. He got in the boat with his disciples. He went and lay down and take a nap. Big storm arose. King James Bible says the boat was full of water. And it says Jesus was sound asleep. Well, he wasn't on, a cruise ship. He's asleep in a boat that's full of water. You know it's got to be rocky if it's a storm. The boat's got to be doing all this stuff and going, wind blowing, and he's back there snoring. How can he be at such peace with such a storm around him? He was at rest, wasn't he? See, he operated in grace and faith, and he knew, once I say we're passing to the other side, there's not a thing the devil can do to stop that. Now, the Bible doesn't say the devil can't try to stop it. Like I mentioned this morning, he'll try to attack you. But you just relax. That's why sometimes I'll say what you need to do is really just go home and take a nap. If you're really in faith. See, if you're really in faith, you'll always be at peace. You'll always be at peace. You'll always be at peace. I know Keith Moore. Do y'all know who Pastor Keith Moore is? Out of Missouri, great teacher, great Bible teacher. He says something that I heard, just a good little example. I really like it. He said that he had his faith applied for something. He didn't say what it was, but he said he'd been believing God for something for, it sounded like a pretty long time, and it still wasn't manifest. You ever been there before? Yeah, me too. And it still wasn't manifest. Hadn't come to pass yet. And he was driving down the road talking to God. He said, really probably kind of complaining. He said, God, I just don't understand this. I know I'm in faith. I mean, I've done everything that I know to do. How come this isn't manifested yet? Ever done that?
Yeah,
me too. We're all in the same boat here. And he was complaining about it. I don't understand this, God. This really bugs me. This should be manifested by now. Why has this not come to pass? And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, anytime you're frustrated, you're not in faith. Well, that just nipped a lot of things in the bud for us, didn't it? I mean, you're all thinking, just like me when I heard that, uh-oh. There's been a lot of times I thought I was in faith, and I'm half mad because my miracle didn't manifest it yet. After hearing what he said God spoke to him, I began to realize, wow, there's been a lot of times I thought I was in faith. I mean, I thought I got my act together. I know I haven't missed it. And I was totally missing it right then. I was not in faith at all. See, to be in faith doesn't mean you just have the right confession. There are a lot of people, there are people in the hospitals that are Christians that are dying from diseases. And when you go see them, they'll say, I believe by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I'm well and I'm whole in Jesus' name. And you leave there thinking, wow, praise God. Man, I'm glad that sounds like we're in agreement and that person's healed. But you don't know that after you left, after it gets dark that night and everybody's gone home, all the visitors are gone, a lot of them are laying there saying this, God, I'm just ready to come home. They've already given up, in other words. I'm ready to go ahead and go. And they can if they want to go to heaven. Nothing wrong with going to heaven. God, I'm just right. I don't want to fight this anymore. I'm just ready to go to heaven. Then the next day you come over and visit them. You know what they do? I'm healed by Jesus Christ, Brother Dwayne. Just want to let you know I'm still in faith. Then they end up dying. And then you're confused. Because see, you don't know what they were saying and doing, what was really in their hearts behind the scene. But they kept telling you they believe, they're making the right confessions, and then they end up dying, and it gets the whole church confused where they went. Because they'll say, we don't understand this. We know they were in faith. How do you know? How do you really know that? The only way you can really know somebody's in faith is if you know their heart like God does. And I don't know that, and you don't know that. Only God does. So anytime people tell me, I'm definitely in faith, I really believe, well, I'm hoping that's true. But you know what the proof that that's what the proof is that that's true? Well, the peace of God, it'll come to pass. You know how we knew Jesus was in faith when he cursed that fig tree? It died. It came to pass. It's like an after the fact thing, but that's when you really know you were in faith. When your healing's really manifested, then you say, wow, I was in faith. And when that happens, though, then you need to examine that in your life. Say, now, what did I do to be in faith and do the same thing again? See, that you learn by your experiences. But a lot of people get confused that way. So don't, just because somebody says, I believe, that's what you want them to say. But that doesn't always mean you know their heart. So if something happens that they say that's the opposite of what they say they're believing for and confessing for, don't let that shock you so much. Because you don't know what they were saying at night, in the night hours between them and God. And I can understand, can't you? I can understand if somebody's just agonizing in pain all the time. And they're trying their best to stay in faith. But you know, again, how long can they hold out till their healing's manifested? Because you know, if it doesn't come soon, they may decide, you know, I think I'm going to check out of here. And I don't blame them for that. Do you? I don't blame them for that. I'm going to try my best to encourage them to stay, but I'm not the one experiencing what they're experiencing. So I don't blame them for that, because I know if they do die, well, this is going to be wonderful. They'll be in heaven. I just want to encourage them, you know, do your best. Just think of the testimony that you'll have if you don't go to heaven yet because your healing's come to pass. If you can keep them with you that long to do that. But if you can't and they're born again, praise God. Leave them alone. If they want to go on home, let them go on home. Glory to God. But Paul said that we access grace by faith. He said, by faith we access grace. Now, if everything that God's already done for us by His grace, if it's something that will automatically just happen in our lives, why would we need to access it? If all the money in your checking account will just automatically appear in your purse and in your wallet, why would you need to make a withdrawal? You wouldn't, would you? Because it won't automatically appear. I hope this is helping y'all tonight. Really important. It'll help your faith if you get a hold of this and go back and meditate it yourself. That's how you really get it in you. Go back and meditate on these things and study these things. Praise God. But see, sickness and disease never glorifies God. It never glorifies God. Let me just show you a few verses and I'll wrap this up. But let me show you a couple of things over here. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. This is the story about where the four men brought this paralyzed man in on a cot. Too crowded to go get to Jesus, so they dug a hole in the roof there and they let him down. Of course, Jesus healed him. And it says, well, let's start at verse 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then says he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed and go into your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now listen to verse 8. This is after he was healed, not before. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They glorify. When did they glorify God? When they found out he had the palsy? After he was healed. See, God didn't get glorified until after the man was healed. Because sickness and disease does not glorify God. Because it doesn't come from God. Let me give you some more. I want you to see these. Turn over to chapter 15 in Matthew. Let me just show you a few of these over here. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 31, It says, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and then they glorified the God of Israel. After the healings, after the miracles, then God got the glory. Now turn over to Luke chapter 7. The book of Luke chapter 7 real quick. Luke 7, and look at verse 16. I guess is okay, they're putting those up there. Luke 7, verse 16, good. I didn't know how fast I'm going here. And it says, and there came a fear on all. Well, look at, this is after Jesus raised this woman's son from the dead. It says in verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God. Notice it didn't say that God was glorified when they saw the boy dead. No, it was after Jesus raised the boy from the dead. That's when God got glory. God gets glory when people get healed and delivered and set free. He doesn't get any glory. Now, this is something really big in the church world. There are a lot of people. They'll say, well, at least God's getting glory from my disease. So, you know, if he's getting glory, I mean, I'm willing to bear the pain and the suffering to glorify my precious Lord. Oh, that sounds so spiritual, but it's yet totally ignorant and unscriptural and unbiblical.
That's right.
And they will stay sick. And when they get to, if they don't get healed and they die and go to heaven, when they get there, then they'll learn, boy, that was dumb. I could have been healed down there. I didn't have to put up with all that mess. God gets glory when you get healed. He gets glory when you get healed. Let me give you a couple more. Look at 13, Luke chapter 13. 13, verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 13, praise God. This is when Jesus, you know, said that, remember that woman that was bent over? And he said, you are loosed from your spirit of infirmity. Well, verse 12 says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, you are loosed from thine infirmity. Verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Again, God didn't get any glory till she got healed. Praise God. Let me give you one more. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. Y'all still with me? Still awake? Luke chapter 17. And look at verse 18. This was when Jesus healed the lepers. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. See, the Bible doesn't say, Jesus didn't say, you guys should have given glory to God before you got healed. No, after they got healed, then God got all the glory. So healing and deliverance glorifies God. When people get healed and set free, that's when God gets all the glory. Praise God forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, why don't you stand up with me? I think I'll stop there. I don't want to keep you much longer. I don't want to wear you out. I hope you're stirred up. Hope your faith is stirred up. And I hope you're going to go back and study these things. Go back and look up, you know, as many healing scriptures as you can. There are a ton of them, the Old and New Testament. Spend time meditating on these things over and over and over again. Because the stronger these truths get in you, the more you'll see them work for you. The more they'll start working for you. There's lots of other things that I didn't cover today, a lot of other good points, but I just want to whet your appetite today on these particular issues in the Bible. Has your faith been built up?
Yes.
Praise God. Are you going to run sickness and disease out of your life? You're not going to put up with it anymore? Not going to give it one second? You're going to resist it with everything within you? So Jesus can be glorified? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Remember, this church is a sickness-free zone.
Amen. No COVID here.
COVID-free zone. Cancer-free zone. Leukemia-free zone. AIDS-free zone. Any kind of disease-free zone. Praise God. Well, Father, we worship you. Lord, we just see so much how much you love us, Lord. You're so good to us, Father. You're just so good to us. The more we see all that you did for us in Christ at Calvary, wow, the more your goodness and your grace, the more real they become to us, Lord, where we just want to just stand in awe, Father, at how wonderful you are, how much you love us, Father. All good and perfect gifts come from you. You never tempt us with evil. No sickness, no disease, no evil, no curses come from you. They all come from the devil. And Father, we're so glad that Jesus redeemed us from them all. And now we have your power, all your authority and dominion over them all, over the devil, over all demons, over all evil of every kind. And you've left us on this earth, Father, to demonstrate the devil's defeat, to establish your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God in the hearts and lives of men and women, and to destroy the works of the devil along the way as we go, just to demonstrate his defeat till Jesus comes back for us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. And I pray for every one of us in here that you'll just give us all a greater desire and hunger and thirst to know you more. To know you, Father. Father, you know, a lot of times Christians will say they want you. Well, we already have you, Father. We already have you. But we want to know you better. We want to experience deeper, more intimate fellowship with you. We want to be used by you much, much more in demonstrating your kingdom on this earth. And I pray you'll give all of us a greater desire for that, where it just spiritually burns within us. It burns within us. We can't get enough of your word. We can't get enough of prayer and spending time fellowshipping with you. We can't get enough of confessing who we are in Christ. We can't get enough of sharing Jesus with others. Oh, my Father, just use us and be just having the just being the biggest influence we can be to people everywhere we go every day. And Father, we receive it from you and we give you all of the glory for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Anyone here tonight that we didn't lay hands on this morning that you'd like us to pray for you? Come on up here. Come on up here, Laura. Praise God. Glory to God. Anybody else? Come on up here. Let me lay hands on you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Yeah, you can just come on up here. Just make a little like, come on up a little further, Laura. Nope. Yeah, about right there. Just make a line right across here. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. I will do it. I will do it. Come on over here by the pastor if you don't mind getting standing by him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we pray? Okay. Glory to God. Now I'm just going to lay hands on you and just command your body to be healed and made whole. Now I don't know if you noticed that, but I didn't bring this out, but if you read the four Gospels, you'll find out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one time did Jesus ever pray for anybody to be healed. I didn't say he never went off to pray. He did go off to pray to the Father God, but not one time you'll find where a sick person came to him and Jesus prayed what we call a traditional prayer. Jesus always spoke a command, didn't he? Amen. He would always say, you're cleansed of leprosy, be healed, demon come out, storm stop, be at peace. He always spoke a command.
Amen. Authority.
And that's what we need to get back to, don't we? And he said, believers in Mark 16 will lay hands on the sick. I'm a believer. And they'll lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, and they will recover. See, I'm not the healer, Jesus is, but he heals people through us. The healer's in us, isn't he? But see, my responsibility is, and you need to remember this, because see, you won't get frustrated anymore when you minister to people. Because first of all, the Bible, there's no scripture that says every time you pray for somebody, whatever they need will always come to pass instantly. No verse that says that. Jesus did say they will recover. Recover means it can be instantaneous or in the process of time. But our job, that's not our job to determine when it comes to pass. Our job as Christians is to lay hands on the people, release our faith, call it done in Jesus' name, and then we're done, unless God shows us something else. See, then we obey God. You know what Jesus' job is? It's to manifest your healing for you, because he's the healer. Praise God. Amen. So the rest of you in here, agree with me, release your faith with these. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you right now for your healing power, for your resurrection.
Born with God, the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and I just set her totally free from any way the devil's coming against her.
by your grace, by your power, we are healed.
Demonic attack, I bind you out of her life. I break your power over her right now. And I set her totally free. Oh, yeah, I command her body. I just command your body, every organ, every member, every part to be healed and made whole right now. Right now, every part be strong and healthy and alive and well in your body. Everything works normally. You're healed. You're healed. You're healed. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we lift our hands again and give Jesus all the glory. Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you that we're all healed and whole. Oh, we have full strength in our bodies all of the time in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. I want to thank you so much for allowing us to come back and minister in your church. Y'all are very receptive. I want you, it's real easy to preach to you guys. It's fun to preach to people that want to hear the word.
Amen.
I've been to a few places where that I haven't even called. I haven't even tried to go back there. Just didn't seem like they wanted to hear the word of God. But the Lord spoke to us, it's been several years now through a prophet of God. And it gave us a long prophecy, but within it is, it was all great. But, you know, one thing that really stood out with me, the Lord said, I'm sending you to people that want to hear what you have to say.
Amen.
Now, any minister likes that. I'm sending you to people that want to hear what you have to say. Praise God. So I believe that you people are that way. Glory to God. You want to hear the word of God? And again, I hope you'll go and go listen to the video message on YouTube. There's a place where you can comment if you write a comment, or if you need prayer for anything, put that in the comment. I promise you, I will respond back to you. I check and see if I have any comments on my videos. And say who you are. Don't just say, this is Fred. You know, you may say your name and say from Cornerstone Church in Danville, Kentucky. Then I'll think, oh, okay, I know, there we go. And I'll pray, I promise you, if you drop me a prayer request, I will pray for you. I believe in doing that, so I will definitely pray for you and believe God with you. Praise God. We're going to have a very blessed and prosperous week, and look for opportunities to share Jesus with others and to demonstrate the kingdom of God on this earth in people's lives. Pastor, I better turn it over to you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.